for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, July the 4th, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on soul ties.
Bless the Lord. Lord, we just come before your throne. And Lord, we just pray that you be honored and glorified. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that my words will be like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, the shepherd. I pray, Lord, would you loose mighty holy angels to stick the word of God in each heart. Each of these children, Lord, I pray that you will use this message to make an impact on their lives, to change their lives forever. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places. To work divination against this meeting, I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You will not work in this place. I break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over anybody in this ministry, any of our ministries, any person here, anything that concerns us, Merrill, Barbara, Patty, Kevin, all the workers of this camp in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that I be a tree of life, that rivers of living water come forth from my innermost being, Lord. You said the tongue of the wise will bring healing, and I pray that healing will come today. As you pour your spirit out upon me, I pray for the anointing that breaks the yoke. I ask you, Lord, to give every person ears to hear in Jesus' name. Well, what I want to share is on soul ties. Can you hear me? I don't have to get close to this anymore, do I? This is a message on soul ties. And soul ties is a connection in the spirit. And this, just to illustrate, Nathaniel, a soul tie can be connected like a string, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on the depth of sin a person has with another person to connect them to a soul tie. The next one. You can't see soul ties. You can have soul ties with thousands of people. And you can't see a soul tie with the human eye. It's something that is seen in the spirit realm. And Nehemiah 1:8, Nehemiah told the children of Israel, he said, remember what God told your servant Moses when he said, if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among all the peoples. Toward scatter means to throw loosely about, to distribute in regular intervals. It means to separate and drive off in various directions. It means to disperse. In Deuteronomy 28, God says in 28:15, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, He lists about 50-some-odd curses that come on people because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. Now, curses are carried out by demon spirits, and blessings are carried out by holy angels. The scripture says in Proverbs 26:2 that a curse without a cause cannot alight. So just look through Deuteronomy 28 and see all the curses and ask yourself, are any of these things on my life? And then ask God how they got there and repent and ask God to break the curse off your life. Demons carry out curses. Holy angels carry out blessings. The scripture says, bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who watches over His word to perform it, carrying out the voice of His command, carrying out the voice of God's word. So if the holy angels carry out the voice of God's word, the demons carry out the voice of Satan's word, which is the opposite of God's word. And so it says in Deuteronomy 28, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. He said, when the enemy, one of the curses is when the enemy comes against you one way, you have to flee seven ways. You will flee seven ways. Well, how can a person flee seven ways? And it also says the blessing is when the enemy comes against you one way, the enemy flees seven ways. Now, that's a good end time verse. It goes on to say, and they'll be afraid of you. And that's why they're trying to make you afraid of them, because when they get you afraid of them, then they've knocked you out of your position in the heavenly places, and you have no power over them. That's why fear is propagated over the internet, over the television. It's to make you afraid so that you won't know your position in the heavenly places. And so I've seen more people healed through breaking soul ties than any other message God's ever given me. Mm-hmm. Through soul ties, you can carry the demons and the familiar spirits, the mental illness, the addictions, the perversions, the depression, the sicknesses of any person you have a soul tie with. A soul tie is an unholy alliance or perverse relationship. Soul ties, it's an unholy relationship between one or more people. You can have a soul ties with hundreds of people, and this is how you get scattered. In fact, Jesus said, let me read this scripture here. I'm having to put it like this because I've already got it here and I can't change it, so I'm putting the scripture here. It says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the Pharisees were telling Jesus he was of the devil. He says, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house unless he first binds strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he shall plunder his house. Jesus said, he who's not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And of course, he's down on there blaspheming the Holy Spirit by even saying that deliverance is not a work of God. And so Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. So we get scattered through sin because of unfaithfulness. We get scattered. And we have soul ties with whoever we sin with. A soul tie is the joining or knitting together of the bonds of a relationship. Through soul ties, you get a part of them and they get a part of you. And that's why I always pray this way when I break soul ties. I always say, I call back their soul and their spirit, and I'm talking about their human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. I call back their soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them when I break the soul tie. Another way of saying it is, Lord, I call back anything of mine or me that got on them. I send back anything of them that got on me. And that was based on doing a word study on image. Like in Psalms 106, it says, the children of Israel exchanged God's image for an image of an ox that ate grass. It says in Romans 8:28, everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed into the image of the image of God. So in your trials, you either let God conform you to his image, or you get conformed into the image of the beast. And so I always exchange the image of the beast for God's image. And so you can pray however you want to break soul ties. You don't have to do it that way. That's just the way I do it because of the word study that I did. And so through soul ties, you get a part of those people that you have soul ties with, and they have a part of you. Through soul ties, you get the demons, familiar spirits, mental problems, depression, discouragement, addictions. And how God showed me this was through a girl that I had started ministering to in 1982, and she came out of Satanism, and she was healed over 200 different sicknesses and diseases. And it always came when the Lord would show us a ritual she'd been in, what she did. She'd repent or repent of anything they made her do. We'd break soul ties and she would be healed. She was even healed of AIDS, and we had that documented. She wanted to come out of Satanism and wanted to go to church, so they said, we'll take you to church. So they took her to a church in South Dallas, and a bunch of homosexuals raped her and gave her AIDS. And then God healed her through deliverance. You know, a lot of times in the Word of God, it'll show you how healing and deliverance is interrelated. Sometimes it'll say Jesus healed the persons and the people and the demons left, or sometimes he cast the demons out and they were healed. It's interrelated. Godly soul ties occur between like-minded believers in the Lord. It could be pastors to their congregations. It could be husbands and wives. It could be parents to their children. Believers to pastors, to friends, and godly relationship. Godly soul ties are based on the royal law in Galatians 6, so-called the royal law. And these soul ties, God approves of these. He approves of godly soul ties. They represent the bonding of persons together through the bonds of agape love. Colossians 2:2 says, that their hearts might be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. You know, Kerna referred to people that want to sing together, bind us together in love, bind us together in love. Well, you don't want to be bound to certain people because you get their demons. That's why he said that. So we want godly soul ties. Ungodly soul ties between people are based on the lack of love, of lack of God-centeredness, and upon lust. In fact, any place that the Word of God is compromised, you can get a soul tie with that person through compromising the Word of God. And this is, I'll just share this. This is kind of a simple kind of soul tie, but one day I asked the lady who did my nails, I said, do you know of anybody whose nails do this? And she said, yeah, mine. And I went, whoa. I went, Lord, should I quit going to her? And the Lord said, no, quit compromising with her. Because sometimes through hairdressers or barbers or people in the nail salon, they'll tell you things, or you'll tell them things or you'll come into agreement with things you shouldn't come into agreement with. So the Lord told me not to stop going to her, but to quit compromising. And I encourage those of you who do nails or who do hair or who are barbers, break soul ties. It's kind of like a mechanic when he goes home from work. He's got to get the grease off his hands. After we pray for people here in the mornings, and we pray for y'all before we start. We pray that nothing evil can enter you from us, and nothing evil from you can enter us, or nothing from evil from us can enter you. So, but that's something we have to do. In fact, it says in 1 Timothy 5:22, don't lay hands on anyone too suddenly, lest you receive their sins. So you get their demons. Soul ties involve joining of a personality, their mind, their will, their emotions, and their human spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, their human spirit. How many of you know that there was a human spirit born in your body when you were born? And that's what goes to be with Jesus. It's a joining of ideas and views as well. It can be emotional unions in the feeling realm. A soul tie can range from being quite laid back to strong and overpowering, depending on the depths of sin that you've been involved with in that soul tie. Soul ties can be joined like a thread, like a string, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, each progressively getting stronger than the one before. Demonic soul ties are perversions of the good and holy. They're yokes around our neck and they can enslave us. How many of you have known people, and maybe you've been in a sexual relationship with someone, and you just keep going back into that relationship? You know they're not good for you. You know it's not good, but you keep getting reeled back. You know people like that. You've been in relationships like that. It's because of that soul tie that got you tied to that person. Now, I'm going to be saying some words, not in a perverted way, And I don't want to offend anyone because there's children in here, but children from the time they're little, most of them, 99% of them, have sat in front of a TV and have heard all kinds of perverted words from perverted sources. And so the words I'm using, I'm not going into graphic detail, but the words I'm using is to warn the children and the young people to please don't get into ungodly relationships. It'll destroy you. You know, you see kids that are homeschooled, for example, and they're just wonderful kids, great kids. We've got kids that come to our church on Wednesday night that are homeschooled, and they actually enter into the prayer group. Other kids that have been out in the public school, I'm here to tell you, because of soul ties, you can't even hardly stand to be around them because they're just hopping with demons. If that's the truth. And I just want to reiterate what Karen has said last night. The television and movies is a well-conceived plot of mind control to destroy the American home, to destroy the children. And parents, you're being very foolish to allow it. Your kids' lives are at stake. And so anything I'm saying tonight, they've heard much worse on TV. So if you don't want these words that I'm speaking, don't let your kids watch TV. Because, you know, I grew up, my mother never told me about the birds and the bees. You hear it on the playground. And so it's better to tell the truth, tell kids truth from God's perspective, than let them hear it in a perverted, dirty way. So we need the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the truth sets people free. And so they can be yokes about our neck. In fact, they are yokes about our neck. They enslave people. Soul ties affect us either in a negative or a positive way. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, when one member suffers, they all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. So through soul ties, you can suffer with the person who has the soul tie, or you can rejoice with that person in a godly way. Good soul ties are founded on love, and perverted soul ties, demonic soul ties, are founded upon lust. Jonathan David had a godly soul tie. Now, there's many homosexuals that would like to say that Jonathan David were homosexuals. They were not. They both lived under the authority of God. In 1 Samuel 18:1, it says, now it came about then when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Now, I'm just going to name some things and some experiences that I've had over the years, and some of you have heard this message, and some of you have heard the illustrations, but I'm sharing, there's so many thousands of experiences I've had, but the ones I share over and over are the ones that I remember the best. And so, just excuse me if you've heard this. Like Nikki said, if you've heard it, you've heard it. Anyway, it doesn't hurt to hear it again. Okay, soul ties through fornication. The Bible says there's no sin that affects your body like sexual sin. Actually, if you want to read the judgments in God's Word of what God judges the most fiercely is adultery, sexual sin, and which is idolatry. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. I was teaching a seminar in Austin, and a girl came up and wanted prayer, and she had warts on her face. I said, do you have a boyfriend? And she said, yes. I said, does he have warts? And she said, yes. I said, have you been sexually promiscuous with him? And she said, yes. She repented, and the warts didn't leave right then, but I saw her mother about 8 months later at another seminar, and I didn't tell her mother the details, but I said, does your daughter still have warts? And she said, no, they're gone. And she said, and my daughter goes about telling everybody about how God delivered her. And so there was a lady up in Michigan, and I've shared this before if you've been here. A couple of years ago, I was up in Michigan. This lady who had just had some kind of surgery on her female parts, she said, ever since then, I've been in excruciating pain in my private areas. And I said, well, have you ever been into sexual sin? And she said, yes. And I said, well, the people that you've been involved with sexually are still on your body through the soul tie. And so I said, I want you to repent just between you and the Lord, because I don't want to hear the details of what you did. But I want you to repent, going back as far back as you can remember, and repent of every relationship, and then tell me when you're through. So when she told me she was through, I led her in repentance, broke soul ties, and I cut the body parts of the people she had been sexually involved with off of her, and she was the pain instantly left. You can have soul ties through homosexual relationships. A man that had taught, that had hosted about 17 seminars for me in the Austin area, he knew about deliverance, he knew about soul ties, and he and his wife called me. He'd been into homosexuality most of his life, and he called me and said, I'm having excruciating pain in my backside. Do you have any insight? And the Holy Spirit just quickened to my mind, yes, break soul ties with anyone you've had anal sex with, especially someone that hurt you there. And within 15 minutes, he texted me back, and he said, the minute I broke soul ties, the pain left. You see, whenever you're abused or hurt, and you let the sun go down on your sin, or you let the sun go down on your anger, what happens, it bonds you to a soul tie. And, you know, God says you have till sundown to not let the sun go down in your anger, lest you give a foothold to the devil. But that also has to do with your own sin. And I shared this, and I don't understand all of it. I think, I don't know if I shared this with y'all a few days ago, or I don't know what day it is. Like Merrill, I don't know what day it is. He knows, though. I thank God he does. I couldn't even think of Karna's name this morning. Somebody had to give me his name. How can we forget you? You are a blessed man and your sweet wife and your little grandson whose name is Rock, and his life is going to be founded on a rock. We declare it in Jesus' name. So what was I saying now? Lord, if that was, what, does anybody remember what I said before I said that? recently I heard that whenever your short-term memory is stored in a chemical in your brain, and it kind of goes around and around, and I'm not saying this, Dr. Deborah can probably tell me this better, but somehow if you go to sleep with that, it becomes a part of your life, and that's not the technical medical terms. But that's why we have till sundown. God so wonderfully made us that he gave us till sundown to deal with our anger and our sin. Okay, another soul tie. You can have a soul tie from abuse, emotional, physical, and spiritual abuse. And just last week I was in outside of Pittsburgh, and a young man about 20 came up and he said, I have a pain in my neck. I said, did anybody ever tell you you were a pain in the neck? He said, yeah. I said, well, start forgiving them. So he forgave about 6 or 8 people. And when he got through, I broke soul ties and I said, I pulled that pain, I pulled that arrow out of his neck, and his neck was instantly healed. Another lady had knee problems, and these have to do with who you've been worshiping. And she had fear of man, and everybody would get her to compromise because of fear of man, worshiping man. And when she repented, her legs, her knees were healed. Another lady at my prayer group, said, Jerry, she said, I fell, yesterday. And she said, my side of my face hurt so bad. And I said, well, did anybody ever hit you in the face? And she said, well, I can't remember. She said, but my little sister used to, was real sickly, so my mother and daddy, when she was little, they would keep her, it is hot in here, I don't know if it's just me, would keep her in the bedroom with them, and they would try, she would try to go in and slam the door in her face. Well, she repented of that, forgave them, but she still had the pain in her face. And later on, the lady who headed up the prayer group said, Martija remembered later that afternoon that when she was in high school, somebody slapped her in the face. A bunch of girls slapped her in the face. And when she forgave them, broke soul ties, she was instantly healed. You see, whenever you let the sun go down on your anger, wherever you were hurt, the pain stays in that place. And what happens is we get hurt, and 50 years later we're looking for a medical reason to why our face hurts, or a medical reason why our knees hurt, and it's just a soul tie. Carla and Carla remembers this, we were in Houston at a seminar, and an African American lady came up, and I don't know if you were praying with me, Carla, but it was the man that died, had the Nile virus, whoever, you know who I'm talking about? It was in Houston. Well, it was Janet. Well, Janet was with you. And so, anyway, she was just all bent down like this. And she said, I have pain in every joint, every area of my body. And she was just bent over. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that she had a forefather who was beaten with a bullwhip in slavery. And I led her to forgive the people that had hit her forefathers. See, the pain was coming down the generation. I led her to forgive her forefathers, forgive the people that had beat her forefathers, broke soul ties, and she was instantly healed. And the next day, she came like this. She said, I have not one pain in my body. I've seen African Americans maybe that would have a hand that hurt, and the Lord would give me a word of knowledge that they had a forefather that was strung up by the hand. And at the last Beaumont seminar, there was a lady, an African American lady, who had pain all over, and she had all over her body. She had pain, and the Lord gave another word of knowledge that it was somebody of her forefathers that had been abused. And she told me when she left that Houston meeting, she didn't have one pain in her body when she broke the soul tie. The soul tie attaches them to you, and wherever you're hurt, wherever you sin, the pain and the problem is in that area. Carla was sharing today about someone in the Alzheimer's hospital that their father-in-law went to. And Carla, you tell me if I'm telling this wrong. You were telling us at the table. But the lady was afraid she was going to have Alzheimer's because she's working with all these Alzheimer's patients. Is that correct? And Carla told her, she asked Carla, she said, aren't you afraid that you'll have Alzheimer's, you know, taking care of her father-in-law? And Carla said, no way, I have the mind of Christ. If we're believers, we have the mind of Christ, and Jesus doesn't have Alzheimer's. You see, that comes in Romans 1, exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worship of the creature rather than the creator. God gives you over to a reprobate mind. You know, we were talking today about dementia and Alzheimer's. Carla said it's just insanity, period. That's all it is. And it comes in, if we ever come to the place where we let somebody control us, usually people that get Alzheimer's are people that can't think for themselves. They're like Edith Bunker. They're totally controlled. And see, God frowns on that. God gave you a conscience, and he wants you to use it. And the only person, you're to submit to authority as unto the Lord. But God doesn't want you to compromise. Don't compromise your convictions. That's why God gave you a conscience, which is submit as unto the Lord. And I had a pastor, I've shared this here before, a pastor called me, and she said, I'm getting ready to have hip surgery. And she said, I pastor a church. And I said, well, when you were a kid, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters on your hips? She said, how did you know that? I just said, I don't know. The Lord just showed me. I said, now that you're a pastor, you're carrying your whole congregation on the hips. She said, you don't have to pray for me. I'm already healed. See, the truth sets her free. And so if you're trained up to carry everybody, guess what? You're still carrying them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it till he deals with it. So she was trained up to carry everybody, to carry the load. I've seen people's backs healed because they're carrying people on their back. They're enabling people. And I've seen through my precious friend that is sick right now, when you enable somebody, you take their hits. It's kind of like God's umbrella is Psalms 91, and when you're walking under God's authority and under his umbrella, and then you're trying to cover somebody that's out there in rebellion, you run out there with your little dinky umbrella and try to cover them, and guess who gets hit? It's you. Because you're in rebellion,
because God's disciplining that person you're trying to fix. And then you're mad at him, but mad at them because maybe they have a drug habit or whatever, and you're mad at them, and so then you're in sin and bitter and sick because you worship false gods and you're in rebellion. So God doesn't want us to enable people. My son was enabled by my mother, and I believe with all my heart, had she not sent him $2,400 a month back in 1982, 83, 84, which was a lot of money back then, he'd be alive today. She could not stand the thought of him sleeping on the street, and I couldn't stand it either. I didn't really try to stop her, but as I look back on that, I'm praying, Lord, whatever it takes, save this boy. He gets AIDS. But God let him have a problem to answer my prayers that my mother couldn't fix. And I believe Todd would be alive today had he had to sleep on the street. So when you enable people, you're prolonging your agony. Plus, it's costing you, and you're getting whipped instead. I was in Bridge City teaching a seminar, and a lady came up, and she said, I have Parkinson's disease. I said, does anybody else in your family have it? I'm not making fun of her, okay? Does anybody in your family have it? And she said, yeah, my sister has it. I said, how do you feel about your sister? She said, oh, she has hurt me so deeply. And I led her to forgive, broke so high that she was instantly healed. I see this over and over and over. There was another man. At a meeting I was teaching, he was a pastor, and he had an arthritis in his hands. And, you know, hands have to do with ministry. He was mad at his whole congregation. When he forgave him, God healed the arthritis in his hand. Arthritis is bitterness. Wherever you're, you know, if you got it in your feet, you're bitter towards your past. You don't like the path God's had you on all your life, or you feel like you've got a raw deal. And so wherever you feel hurt, wherever you have arthritis, it's bitter towards something. There was a man in Beaumont that just through grief you can be bonded to someone. Through grief, there's a sorrow that leads to death, and there's a sorrow that leads to repentance. And you can, you know, God wants you to, your grieving is, I think that God, the word, allows it 3 months to grieve, but when it continues on, it becomes a soul tie. But this man had been in a car wreck, and Carlo, you were at that seminar, I remember. There was a man that had back pain for 20 years, and the Lord, he had been in a car wreck when he was younger, and he was drunk, and they were in a wreck, and his best friend, both of them were in the hospital, and he was in the hospital for months, but his friend was in a coma. And this was probably one of the most bizarre things I've ever experienced. But we were praying for his back, and he would go visit the friend, and he would speak words of endearment over the friend and say, you know, I'm sorry. He couldn't forgive himself. I wish I was in your place. I wish I could, you know, it happened to me instead of you. And he would leave the room, and what the Lord showed us, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that the friend had him by the back. I said, I kept getting that impression. I thought, that's crazy. And finally I told the man, I said, you know, I keep getting this impression that your friend has got you by the back. And what the Lord showed us is that he would walk out, and the friend was in a coma, and the friend couldn't say nothing, but his spirit man was reaching out after this man. And so when he broke soul ties and forgave himself, his back was healed of a 20-year back problem that started with that car wreck. At one meeting, I'm going to give you some scriptures in a minute, okay? At one meeting, I taught on soul ties, and there was about 12 women that had been whipped and beaten in the rear end with a board, and because of the anger with their father, and there was about 12 people who were healed. They were healed in the backside from that spanking. My son Todd told me when he was in homosexuality, he said, Mom, he said, I've had so many relationships that if I met him on the street, I wouldn't recognize him. And for him to have been healed of AIDS, he would have had to break soul ties with all the people that he had sinned with, because AIDS is a transmitted disease. He got the diseases of whoever he had a soul tie with. He did break soul ties with the guy he was living with at the time that he got AIDS, and just chose never to see him again, give back gifts that people gave, totally repented. But 2 years later, the guy he was living with died of AIDS. Praise God, he's in heaven.
Amen.
I thank God. I don't have to worry where he's at. He's with Jesus. Through incest and rape, that's why people being molested. You know, until molesters get healed or get delivered, that spirit of molestation, that spirit of rape just passes on to the next generation. A lot of times women that have been incested, their children will be incested. Incest is when family members have sexual relationships or touch each other in places that is inappropriate. And I just tell you children this. Children playing doctor games and playing games and touching each other where you shouldn't. It's opening you up to soul ties. Brothers and sisters. And the curse of incest goes 10 generations, which is like about, don't quote me, but I think it's 2,044 fathers. Through rape. Through bestiality. And that's letting an animal touch you someplace that's inappropriate. Or you touching an animal someplace you shouldn't touch them. Pornography is made by Satanists. They put curses and sex hooks on it. Jesus said if you just look with lust on someone that you've committed adultery in your heart. So through that sin of adultery and looking at pornography, you've got soul ties with every person, every child, every animal you've looked at in pornography. And they put curses on it. Well, curses and spells that keep reeling you back into that sewer. And if you continue and you're in it, you will not go to heaven. It opens you up to defilement, to curses in relationships. It curses marriages. It causes people in marriage to not have a normal relationship because of all the perversion. I've had women tell me that they, because their husbands were into pornography, they felt like they were being raped by demons. And they were. And so if you've been in it, you need to break the words of death, words of iniquity, the curses, the spells, and ask the Holy Spirit to erase those images out of your mind. The Bible says we can pull down, uproot, and pluck out those things from our hearts. You see, those things are stored down in our heart, and it's going to produce perversion. Because what's in the heart comes out the mouth, and what's in the heart comes up into the thought life. In perverted family ties, it's normal for parents to have control of their children. In fact, they should have control of their children to train them up in the way they should go. And there should be an element of controlling them. But when they're grown and they're away from the home and they're married or out of the home, then and we still try to control them, that's a perverted soul tie. Plus, it's slavery. Soul ties with the dead. The Bible forbids touching the dead, touching the bones of the dead, the graves of the dead. In fact, if a person died in a room, that room was unclean for so many days and had to be cleansed. The children of Israel, the priests were not allowed to touch the dead. The children of Israel could bury immediate family, but then they had to go through a cleansing process. And that's what the scripture says in Hebrews, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all defilement, but we have to ask him to cleanse us from it and to break soul ties. I had a lady said, pray for me, I've got a pain in my toe. And I said, well, I don't know what it is. I asked the Holy Spirit, and the Lord showed her. She said, well, I was an army nurse, and my job was to tag the toes of the dead. She broke soul ties, and she was healed. Her toe was healed. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, and do not touch anything that's unclean, and I will welcome you, God said. Now, that word unclean in the Greek means anything that was considered ceremonially unclean in the Old Testament. That's what unclean meant. Through grief, I did a seminar at a home in Dallas. In fact, it was for the whole family, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, the whole family. And afterwards, the mother said, you know, pray for my son. She said, he's got a lung problem. And pray for my daughter. She's got a stomach problem. And I didn't have any idea. This was probably the most bizarre thing I'd ever heard. And she said, and our cats, she said, our cats always die. Well, you know, little kids will say to an animal, I'll never let you go. Or maybe they had a grandmother that loved them and no one else loved them, and they said, well, I'll never let you go, grandmother, or talking to the dead. Anyway, so when she said that, I just led him to repent of vowing that he would never let that cat go. And broke soul ties with the cat, and his lung was instantly healed. In fact, whatever left him was so big, he turned to his little sister and he said, Julie, that other cat we had died with a stomach problem. Well, that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. If you'd have told me, I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, I came out of a skeptic background. I'm trying to get over it now. And then I went, the next week I was in Austin, and a girl had her leg bandaged up, and she came up for me to pray for her, and I said, what happened to your ankle? She wanted me to pray for something else. She said, well, it started when I was 5 years old. I jumped down the stairs, and my mother told me not to, and I let her repent of being rebellious, and it was better. And then she started crying. And she said, when I was a certain age, she said, my daddy died, and my mother married this man that was financially in debt. And she said, and I had this horse named Teak. And she said, and I had to get rid of him. I said, he didn't have a leg problem, did he? She said, yes. Mother said it was the exact same leg. And God healed her. She took the bandage off her leg. The next year I saw the mother and I said, is your daughter's ankle still here? She said she's never had another problem with her ankle. A soul tie with a horse. Another man had a Charlie horse. Because his horse somehow had a Charlie horse, and I don't know how they break a Charlie horse. Does anybody know that? I understood him to say they would take something blunt and hard and hit the Charlie horse. And he grieved over that horse, and so because of that, he had a soul tie with the horse, and he was healed when he forgave. Vows, have you ever vowed you would never be like your mother? Or your daddy, and then you look in the mirror and you're thinking you're looking right at him. You know, a vow works like a train track. You want to go this way, but you have to go the way of the vow. When you turn to a vow, you turn to an idol. And I was at one seminar and a lady said, pray for my foot. And she said, I said, does anybody else in your family have anything wrong with your foot? And she said, yeah, my mother-in-law. I said, well, how do you feel about her? She said, I want to be like her. And I said, well, you are. I led her to repent of wanting to be like her mother-in-law, and her ankle was healed. There was a teenager that came to one of my seminars, and he had a back problem. He played football. He was like 13 or 14 years old, and he played football. And he said, everybody on my team's got a back problem. I said, oh, how do you feel about your team? And he didn't answer me. The mother said he's mad at every one of them. Anyway, forgave, and God healed his back. Another time, I was in Austin, and a big old University of Texas, handsome, black, African-American man. He had his hair in his little plaits, and he was so good-looking. He had the most beautiful teeth, and he said, I have migraine headaches. I said, it's because you're using your head. He was a great big, he's one of those linemen. I said, it's because you're using your head as a weapon. I said, you need to break soul ties every time. And he said, that makes so much sense. He broke soul ties and the Lord healed his headache. So, inordinate affection for animals. How many, and I don't look like my dogs, okay? Inordinate affection for animals. Yeah, have you seen people that look like they're animals? Yeah, they look just like it. It's through a soul tie. I'm just amazed, and some of y'all may do this, but a lot of people I sell dogs to, they sleep with them. I'm thinking, they don't even come in my house. No, I'm nasty enough. And then you become like your teacher. Luke 6:14, Jesus said, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So if you're in a church and your pastor is perverted, guess what? You're going to become like your teacher. So make sure that nobody's perfect, but make sure whoever's teaching you is walking as uprightly as they know how to be. Laying hands on anyone too suddenly. Going through these bless me lines and let people lay hands on you. Did you know that witches and Satanists infiltrate a lot of these meetings that are not teaching repentance? In fact, the situation I told you of somebody that had text me, what did I think about a meeting they went to where a woman cast demons into herself from another person and then she fell on the floor and collapsed. I said, it's hellish, dangerous, and demonic. Get out of there. I mean, the Satanists and the witches will go to meetings to receive demons because they want the power. And so be careful who lays hands on you. Make sure they're holy hands. I was ministering to a girl that had been satanically ritually abused, and my secretary had just gone to, she lived with me at the time, but she had just gone to a Frank Hammond meeting and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, I had it for 10 years, but never used the gift of tongues. And I would always pray for people, and I'd sit on the other side of the room. I would never lay hands on people. And so this girl had been satanically ritually abused, and she was saying, come down. I mean, the demons were saying, come down for me. They were screaming out. And my secretary was so afraid, she started speaking in tongues. And the demon said, I hate those tongues. I hate those tongues. I hate those tongues. I thought, I better start using the gift of tongues. I had to repent that it took a demon to teach me that I needed to use tongues. And then another time, I felt led to lay hands on her, as this demon was manifesting, and she said, get those holy hands off me. And I went, holy hands? I was shocked, so slapped my hands on her head. Another time when I would pray for Ruth, the girl that had come out of Satanism, I'd touch her. She said, your hands are burning me. The demons would say, your hands are burning me. They're burning. My hands are not hot. They're burning me, they'd say. And so there's something to laying on of hands. There's power. God says you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen? 1 Timothy 5:22, don't lay hands on anyone too suddenly. I was at another meeting, and a guy's arm kept flying up while I was teaching. He came up for prayer for something else. I said, what's wrong with your arm? He said, well, I've had this manifestation ever since a lady in a revival prayed for me. I said, well, it's the unholy spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Led him to repent, and his arm quit flying up. You know, these meetings where your arm goes and you do crazy things, that's the devil making a fool out of God's children. God never makes you look like a retard. Who in the world would want to be a Christian if they saw you hopping and skipping and laying on the floor, kicking in the air, would it look like a sprayed cockroach? Who in the world would want that? Have you ever seen a sprayed cockroach? They're a sight to behold, aren't they? Joining yourself with a harlot, King James says, with a prostitute. Did you know that believers who have false gods, believers who are not walking uprightly before the Lord, believers who love things more than they love Jesus, are called spiritual harlots, spiritual prostitutes, and adulterers. And so you're not to join yourself with a believer that is a spiritual harlot or with a physical prostitute. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh because of that he was having a relationship with his mother-in-law. And then Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians, do you not know? Well, he said we're not to even eat a meal with a so-called believer if he's a fornicator or if he's an idolater. We're not even to eat a meal with him. Why? Because when you eat a meal with someone, that in covenant, there's always food. And food bonds you to whoever you have a meal with. And I learned this when I went to Australia. I learned that. And the girl that I had been ministering to that had been into Satanism, it was like, I was the only person that loved her, and I was kind of like a lioness blanket to her, an idol really in her heart, which God allowed for a season. But when I was in Australia, the Satanists came to her, and they said, your name is out on the street, and we're going to watch your back. Well, she was gullible. She fell for it. When I came back, she acted like she was just out in left field. She didn't even know what town she was in. And they told her at work, you act like someone that has Alzheimer's.
And as I ministered to her, what the Lord showed us was they took her to a hotel, they watched an Alzheimer movie, and they ate popcorn. And that's how I broke that spirit off of her, was leading her to repent and break soul ties. And so, this kind of sounds bizarre, but you know, movies, they have popcorn and all kinds of stuff to bond you to whoever, whatever. The movies, the TV shows, the commercials are so laced with witchcraft, dragons, demons, Satanism. I mean, it is just totally demonic. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself with the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside the body. But the man, and I can say or woman, who commits sexual sins against their own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Joining yourself with unbelievers. And I can say, if Jesus can be Lord of your life, but wherever you are joined with a soul tie, you're joined to a harlot. And that's why it's important to break soul ties.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.